When we decide to follow Jesus, our entire motivation in life begins to shift. Our focus moves away from our personal needs. And as we grow in Christ, we start looking for ways to inspire and impact others. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues our study in 2 Timothy. In his final letter before his execution, Paul gave his friend Timothy wise counsel on how to remain true to his calling, even in the face of adversity and intense pressure among even Christians to water down the truth. We'll begin today by reading the passage together. Chuck titled today's message, Making a Lasting Difference.
All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be made complete, mature, complete in every way. We always turn to the Word of God with that hope and confidence, knowing that each section has been equally God-breathed and therefore preserved for our instruction. If you have a Bible with you this morning, please locate 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 10 through verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, you continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them.
Listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his newly formatted Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Making a Lasting Difference.
Most people I know want to make a difference. In fact, they want to make a lasting difference in the lives of others. Most people I know do not want to drift along in mediocrity. You do not want to be swallowed up in anonymity or obscurity. As a matter of fact, you want to make a difference in the lives of people around you. You're not driven by money if you are in this category. You are not driven by fame. You're not afraid of hardship or sacrifice. As a matter of fact, you're not even worried about the risk involved because you want to make a difference that lasts. You certainly are not looking for an early retirement because you know that life continues on as long as you have breath in your lungs. You want your life to count for something. A classic example of this occurred back in 1914 in the life of a man named Ernest Henry Shackleton. Shackleton had a vision, a dream, to accomplish something that had never been done before. He wanted to lead an expedition across Antarctica. How's that for a dream or a vision? He knew he couldn't do it alone. He would have to recruit people like-minded, just as strong-hearted and determined. If they were going to make that journey with him, they would have to be willing to risk, to care nothing about the life-threatening sacrifices that would be involved. 5,000 and more men offered themselves to this task. along with three very brave young women. Within days, the names began to deluge the man's life. Men and women alike saying, "We want to make a difference that will never be forgotten." He announced his intention to go across the South Pole. He invited those to submit their names to conditions that would be harsh, numerous, in fact, on some occasions, virtually humanly impossible. The pay would be low, more like a token honorarium. But Ernest Shackleton found his group. As he put it, they were not merely talented or physically strong people. He looked for intangible qualities, such as attitude, character, a team spirit, qualities that would transform a collection of individuals into a synergistic union of souls, a team. His desire was to make a lasting difference. And by the way, that never just happens. It's the result of possessing the right qualities that are essential in having the determination to get you through the tough stuff. All of this brings us to the five verses that are in the core of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Please turn there. Paul the older is writing Timothy the younger. Paul, who will soon die at the hands of the Romans, passing on this information to Timothy, who will live on as he pastors the church in Ephesus, hundreds of miles away. These words are Paul's way of saying, stay with it. Go for the goal. Don't let anything stop you. Continue on, Timothy. Or in the words of the great theologian Larry the Cable Guy, get her done. Get her done, Timothy. We laugh at that. We smile at that. The guy's hilarious. But the fact is, I have never accomplished anything in my life without that particular motto ringing strong. Nor have you. You do not just happen to get an education. You do not just happen to accomplish some goal you have set for yourself. You don't just happen to make a difference in someone else's life. You don't stumble into that. It is the result of you yourself determining to be different. I was reared with that philosophy. Son, we don't care what the neighbors say or do or think. We are Swindolls. We will do it our way. And he drilled that into me, as only my wife could tell you. We will be ourselves regardless of what anyone else is or says or does. So I was halfway there by the time I got in the Marine Corps, and they just finished off the job right then. Get her done was the motto of the Marine Corps, though I never heard it while I was in there. It was put other ways that I'll not get into. The goal, put simply, is this. Write it down. To make a lasting difference in the lives of people around me. That's the goal. Two practical comments before we get further into this passage. To make a difference means you must be different. Samey same never got the job done. Being like everybody else never made an impression. To make a difference, you must be different. Secondly, to be different, you must cultivate the qualities that are essential for that difference. To be different, you must cultivate the qualities. That's why Paul spends time to name one after another as he writes to Timothy, knowing that Timothy will outlive him. A quick overview before we get into the details of the verses. Look at these verses for yourself, verses 10 through 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you were to sit down at your kitchen table, open your Bible to this passage, these are a couple or three things I would give you as tips for sort of opening the passage for you. Often think in terms of time, past, present, and future. When you're reading a passage, look for that. Look for hints that give those clues. Now, they won't always be in that order as these verses would model for us. First, there is the past. Then Paul jumps to the future. Then he comes back to the present. All the while saying to Timothy in so many words, I want you to make a difference unlike all of the others around you. How do I know verses 10 and 11 are referring to the past? Look at the verses. You'll find four words that end with ED. How pedantic can I get, huh? Timothy, now you followed ED. That's the past. Verse 11. The persecutions and sufferings which happened, ED, that's the past. Happened in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. I endured, ED, that's the past. Out of them all the Lord rescued me, ED, that's the past. You followed, these things happened, I endured them, the Lord rescued them. All of those things, look back. Timothy, remember how it was. When you get to verses 12 and 13, the future is introduced with the word will. Look at the verses. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. There's your clue. Look at the next one. Evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse. That's another clue. When you read will, you know you're reading of the future. I'll get to that in a moment, but that is an absolute prediction of what we can anticipate. It isn't something that might have applied to the biblical days. That is a prediction true to our own day. You determine to live godly, you will be persecuted. If there are enough of you living godly, you can count on this. The imposters and deceivers will proliferate, and as a result, they will work hard to make your life miserable. They will proceed from bad to worse. Count on it. It's a biblical promise. It's a prediction. So what do I do with a past like that and with a future like this? How do I handle myself in the present? See the word continue in verse 14. You, however, continue in the things you have learned. That's a word for the present. If I tell you to continue on with something, I'm not talking about the past. I'm not referring to the future. I'm saying keep on keeping on. Continue on. Now the past. Here's something to write down regarding the past. To model the truth we've been taught regardless of the tests and trials that come. As you look to the past, you want to remember those who modeled the truth that they were taught and have taught us regardless of the trials and the tests that come. Let me state here a principle that I would wish you would write down as well. It's something that I've never read, but it's something you can pass on to someone else. There is a powerful link, L-I-N-K. There's a powerful link between remembrance and continuance. There's a powerful link between what we remember and how we continue. I've had the privilege of having some great teachers in my life. I had great parents. I have a great wife. I have great kids. I have great mentors. I have, thank the Lord, a great education, thanks to the grace of God and the patience of teachers. I have great reminders of days past where knowledge was poured into my life. It came from all different directions, always from people. Information comes from people. I follow those people as best I can. When I fail, it's often because I am not following the things I learned from my past. I don't make a difference if I don't follow that kind of teaching. Now, Paul's concern was for Timothy. That's why he begins with the two little words that you tempted to run right on by. Now you. Now you, verse 10. Why is that important? Because they are connectives to the first nine verses. The first nine verses, you remember, is a depravity on parade. It's the unfolding of 19 qualities that characterize those who are lost, those who are deceived, and those who are deceiving. But you, verse 10, but you, Timothy, but you, Shirley, but you, Doris, but you, Chuck, but you, Bill, but you, Martha, but you, Sue, but you, Frank, but you, Jack. This is written to you and me, just as it was written to Timothy. But you, unlike those who are deceiving and being deceived, you are different, Timothy. You are different. I could call your names again. You are different, Chuck, I could say to myself. Why? Timothy, why was he different? Look at what it says. Because you followed, and now he names 9 memories in Timothy's life, each of which in the original text has a definite article, the. Allow me, though it will be a little bit wooden, let me read it to you literally. Now you followed the teaching, the conduct, the purpose, the faith, the patience, the love, the perseverance, the persecutions, and the suffering. Each one is a category unto itself, and as Timothy unrolled the scroll and read the letter for the first time, he remembered. He remembered. He remembered the years he had traveled with Paul. He remembered the events that occurred. He remembered the times of teaching where, sitting under candlelight, Paul would lean over and say to Timothy, "Now remember this, such and such and so and so. Or let me show you what the Lord has revealed to me," and he would teach him. That's what he means here by the teaching. The teaching. Now, this is a very important point to remember. We follow people physically. That's called follow the leader. And that's simple. That's easy. We do it as a child. But we also follow other people mentally. We say that. I follow you. Someone is making something clear. You say, I follow you. I follow where you're going. But far more importantly, we follow people spiritually. I can still remember in my mind's eye, I can see the scene where I saw a mentor on his knees pouring out his heart to God on a rainy night on the island of Okinawa. He didn't even know I was watching. I knew he was going through a terribly difficult time, and I saw him as he was pouring out his heart to God, and I remember his conduct. See the word here? Followed my teaching. You followed my conduct. The word means lifestyle. The Scottish people say some things are better felt than telt. When you follow people's conduct, it rubs off on you. They don't say, and now my conduct is going to reveal so-and-so, and we take a note on it. No, it doesn't work like that. We see them under stress. We watch them under pressure. We see them respond to their critics. We watch how they handle sickness, affliction, disappointment. We see how they handle rewards and accomplishments. We watch their conduct, Timothy. You have the benefit of having the teaching, the conduct, even the purpose. The word means aim in life. You have followed my aim in life. One wag put it this way, if you shoot at nothing, you'll hit it every time. You who have no purpose for living are living a rather blank life. It's purposeless. You're sort of living from one day to the next. Reminds me of a cartoon out of Peanuts. Years ago, Charles Schulz included this little scene where the dog, Snoopy, carries the message to the reader. Linus takes the stick and he throws the stick, and Snoopy looks at the stick as it flies through the air and lands, and he sits there and looks at it. Doesn't move. Thanks to Charles Schulz, we know what Snoopy is thinking. In his mind, he says, I want people to have more to say about me when I'm gone than, he was a nice guy and he chased sticks. When Paul finished his life, no one would say, he's a nice guy and he chased sticks. What's going to be written on your stone? Come to think of it, he's a nice guy. He lived 47 years, or he lived 78 years, or she raised 4 kids and died at age 92. With Paul, it will say, you followed my teaching, my conduct, my purpose, my aim of life. The next 4 go together. They are sort of the cardinal virtues of the Christian life: faith, patience, love, perseverance. Look at those 4 words. I lump them together. Faith is trust in God. The next word is patience with God, love for God, and endurance waiting on God. You remember that, Timothy. You have good, solid roots. By the way, it will give you a first-hand acquaintance with the living God. Thomas Carlyle, the Scottish essayist, remembered when he was a boy the words of his father, as their parish was without a pastor. The father was gravely concerned over the pastor they would get to fill the responsibilities of their church. Carlyle records these words of his father: "What this parish needs is a minister who knows and loves Christ other than at second hand." Who knows and loves Christ other than at second hand. If you have a pastor who has a second hand love for Christ, you have an absence of passion and enthusiasm. If you yourself are lacking in this sense of first hand love, patience, a trust, and endurance, you won't make it. In any sense of purpose, in any way of shaping the lives of others, not just stories of other people's love and faith and patience and endurance, but your own. See the word perseverance? It's from two Greek words that mean to abide under. Hupo is under and meno is to abide. It was used for a donkey when you loaded it up with a burden that was to be carried on a long journey. The donkey was said to hupo meno, the burden. He would abide under the load. By the way, we put a lot of emphasis on people who are healed from diseases, and we're grateful for each healing, but we don't place much emphasis on those who endure through years of not being healed. You know someone like that? Someone you've loved all the way to death, perhaps, or near death? That's endurance. And your being by their side is a mark of endurance. I got a sweet note from a longtime friend of mine, Howie Stevenson, who was greeting me on a birthday. And he said, "I just want to tell you that I just have great memories of our years together." And he went in through all of it. And he said, "My life is now spent with Marilyn. She's suffering from a form of dementia now." And he said, "These are the ways I spend my life today." He's enduring. I wrote him back a word I hope was a word of encouragement. I said, "You've exchanged the spotlight for the twilight, and you're still faithful." One of the marks of maturity is endurance. See it here? It says, "Persecutions and sufferings such as happened to me." Timothy, you remember that. Don't you love the next statement? Look at verse 11. "What persecutions I endured. Out of them all, the Lord rescued me." It's a great word, rescue. We sang of it this morning. He rescued the souls of men. He rescues us.
This is Insight for Living. And Chuck Swindoll titled today's message, "Making a Lasting Difference." To purchase the CDs or downloadable audio files that comprise this study, just go to insightworld.org and look for Paul's Swan Song. In this New Testament letter to Timothy, Paul pulls back the curtain and gives Timothy a glimpse of our culture in the last days. Chuck, perhaps it goes without saying, but Paul's description of the end times sounds like a review of today's generation.
Well, it's true, Dave. Paul wrote, in essence, "Timothy, in the last days, people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred, no self-control. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly." Paul paints a dark picture that sounds strangely familiar, doesn't he? His warning reinforces the reality that we are truly living in the last days right now. Well, this prophetic snapshot of our times is what compels us to turn up the volume on Insight for Living. Our days are short, and our mission to fill the dark places with God's light has never been more urgent or more important. For this reason, I'm appealing for your partnership today. Now, as a valued listener, you should know that our financial reserves at Insight for Living Ministries are nearly depleted. Yet, we refuse to let this temporary deficit become a discouraging factor or a barrier in presenting the power of the gospel every day on this program. So I'm saying to you, let's band together so that none of our ministry efforts need to be curtailed. If everyone gives something, God will use each gift, large or small, to close the gap. John wrote it this way, "But these are written that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name." John 20:31. In these last days, we want to reach every country on the globe with the powerful, life-giving message of the gospel. Please join with us. In doing so, respond now. Your gift will make all the difference.
All right, thanks, Chuck. And here's how to respond right now. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or give online at insight.org. And let me add, when you give a donation today, we'll be pleased to send you the brand new edition of the Gospel of John with Psalms and Proverbs from the Swindoll Study Bible. With a bold blue leather-like cover, this includes many of Chuck's sermon notes, insights for practical application, and even a daily reading plan. This special offer expires soon, so be sure to request a copy today when you give a donation. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or write Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. That's Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. Online, go to insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker. Chuck Swindoll continues his message next week about making a lasting difference. Listen Monday to Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Making a Lasting Difference, was copyrighted in 2009 and 2015, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2015 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.